Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
I can't do this. This is too much. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I need help. I need answers. I need answers. Who's going to be there? I've messed up so much. I feel like I've done everything, but now, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Just breathe. I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I can't live a whole life with half a self, with half of me in tow, saving the potential of me for some rainy day as if there isn't more to be living for. How can God work with half a woman towards her full potential? How can he pour blessings into my cup that overfloweth if my insecurities and sins have created holes that can't store it? I wrestle with principalities against my own flesh and blood, looking towards the mark of the higher calling, but that takes a whole lot of faith, and to follow where he leads takes a whole lot of dedication, and to stand in the face of my fears, or to proclaim the life of Christ, or even to love my neighbor takes a whole lot of preparation. So half of me won't do. Giving only half my day, or half my thoughts, or half of everything I got is not only useless but unwise when God sees me wholly with his own eyes, when God in his grace sees me wholly with his own eyes. So I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I gotta get it right. My purpose is on the line. And how can I have only half the mind to do what's right, or spend less than half of the time attempting to develop myself into disciplined study or focused way of life, when it takes to committing the whole mind, the whole body as a living sacrifice? See, we want full blessings from the Lord, but we only pray half the time. And sometimes we remember to love our neighbor, but we seek God's love all the time. We go into situations and relationships with half of ourselves in tow, still hoping good things will come from them despite. And we forget that to love God with our whole heart takes a constant renewing of the mind, a constant reviewing of our lives. For many of the things we need to grow takes a committed and dedicated whole, not got from simple Bible reading or occasional fasting and praying, but our whole effort with our whole heart gives God the room to bring out the wholeness in us that he created within us long ago. So I chanted like I wanted, like it's part of my whole being, like it's significant, like it's attainable, as if my spirit desired it. I needed to present myself fully as committed to his word. I want to be a whole woman, because half a woman can't quite gain wisdom in this world. So each day I pray the prayer of complete reliance on God and all his magnificence, for only he is able to bring out in me the wholeness that he created. I'm not whole on my own, but I belong to you. I'm not of myself, but of you and your divine purpose. I am not alone, but with you. I seek your guidance in my daily business. I'm not whole on my own, but pieced together by your hand, held together by your will. I am not led by neither wants, desires, or personal debates, but ever yielding to that which you lay before me. So today, as every day, I listen to your voice, walk in step with you, seek your wisdom, and lay no claim to my own life so that I may be aligned with your way. For I seek to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. God, I want to live what you made me. A whole woman. A whole woman. A whole woman. Amen.
Amen. Welcome here to Soul Purpose Tuesdays here on Master Griot Radio, a program of the National Black Business Trade Association Radio Live. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's Tuesday, Soul Purpose Tuesday, and we have a very special guest with us today. It's Reverend Barbara Montague, and we're going to engage in real straight, no chaser talk about her journey to purpose. Reverend Montague, she's a minister with Society for Helping Church, a special ministry for the deaf and hearing. She is a mother and a grandmother. Her daughter is a beautiful woman who is deaf, and we're going to talk about what it's like to raised a deaf child, being an advocate of deaf, and how she was moved to join the Soul Purpose movement, and about her special outreach she has, Journey to Recovery, which is the only agency in Pennsylvania that has services, recovery services for deaf people. So we're going to talk about the unique issues of being black and deaf, female and deaf, and about deaf advocacy. And we're talking about social entrepreneurship. So we want to say welcome to our special guest who's on the line, Reverend Barbara Montague.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful and being blessed. Thank you. How about you?
I'm doing great, especially since I get to share this morning with you.
Very good.
Now, Reverend Montague, everyone, is a very inspiring spirit. She's just a wonderful person, always has a smile. She's uplifting people all the time. So I just want to, we first just want to talk to you, we want to talk about one of our topics here, main topics is social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about how you turn your life and your purpose into an entrepreneurial venture. So first just tell us a little bit about you. Who is Reverend Barbara Montague?
Well, the very first and most important thing is that I am a child of God, and that's my greatest accomplishment. I am also an associate minister at Society for Helping Church, pastored by the Reverend Dr. Repsian Warren, who is the founder and director and the senior pastor of Society. I am also the executive director and founder of Journey to Recovery Incorporated, which is a resource agency as well as a recovery and sobriety outreach for the deaf and hard of hearing community here in the city of Philadelphia. I am a mom and grandmom. My daughter Mona is deaf. She's presently residing in Montgomery, Alabama, and Mona is a champion within her own right. She is now a deaf communication specialist for the state of Alabama. And I think that is the most important thing. Those are the most important things that describe me. For now, I am a cancer survivor, so I give all honor and praise to God.
Yes.
For this journey that I'm on. I am also a member of Soul Purpose, which I'm very excited about, which is a new journey for me, and I'm enjoying it because it's such a wonderful, wonderful vision that we have now to empower not only women but to empower our people. And that purpose and that vision has just inspired me to be a part of that. So that's about me, a little bit about me.
Yeah, and you're a member of a very huge, loving family, too.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Your family's in Philadelphia.
Yes, indeed. My family is in Philadelphia. Some of them are members of Society for Helping Church. Others are members at various churches within the city of Philadelphia. But I have a very huge, and you said it, a very loving and supportive family.
Yes. So, You know, what was the journey about? You know, you raised a deaf daughter, but you didn't just raise a deaf daughter. You became a prominent advocate for the deaf. And so was it just through your daughter that did that? Or, you know, how did you go from, you know, dealing with, you know, being a mother of a deaf daughter? Did you have any other deaf people in your family?
Well, I have no other deaf people in my family. And Mona was born totally deaf, no speech, no hearing. She was a premature baby. But I think my advocacy came directly from my having a deaf daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The longer I began to struggle to get her quality education and to get her into, you know, the very best of schools, I found that the deaf and hard of hearing community were being so neglected in so many different things. And I believe that my purpose in life began The Lord just showed me I need someone that will stand up and speak for the deaf and hard of hearing community as an advocate. We know that Reverend Repsy Warren, our pastor, was very instrumental in starting Society Church because the deaf and hard of hearing community needed a place to worship. And she began that journey in 76. But as parents, we also saw, as she struggled, we saw our own personal struggles with our children, that they weren't able to get, not only not able to be in worship, but not able to get quality health care and quality education and services that they needed. So I think the Lord gave me my purpose right then to say, I need you as a parent of a deaf child to stand up and become an advocate. And that was the beginning, and here I am. Mona will be 40 in August, so here I am 40 years later, still on the battlefield and still on the front line for the deaf and hard of hearing community. So I think, yes, that was my purpose, and that was the sole reason that I became an advocate for the deaf community.
Well, what do you find, do you feel there are unique issues with being black and deaf, and there are even more unique issues with being female?
I think first, yes. Oh, yes, Sister Jackie. You know what? The very first thing I think, the biggest barrier is being black and deaf. We know that even back in the years, historically, deaf people in general were considered to be deaf and dumb. Mm. We know that not to be the case now, but we do know that that was the way that deaf people were seen. As with deafness, there was a history of institutionalization, which usually housed those persons who were poor, mentally challenged, disabled, blind. And so they included deaf people in that particular category. And so we found that deaf people were receiving inferior education, mainly because they were poor and were not able to afford the quality education that some other cultures were able to receive. So, yes, we saw a great deal of inferior things going on within the black deaf community.
And, back in the 70s and all, what was the school situation like? I know now a lot of people go to the regular schools, but there were still never too many outlets far as deaf schools, were there?
Well, you know what? Back in the 70s, there was, I think, we had two specialized schools for the deaf. We had the Willis and Elizabeth Martin School for the Deaf, which basically educated deaf and hard of hearing children. Mm-hmm. There was another very prominent school on the outskirts, we could say, of Philadelphia, that mainly educated the more elite, we won't say elite, but those white parents and students who could afford quality education. So we had Pennsylvania, that was Pennsylvania School for the Deaf, and then we had Willis and Elizabeth Martin, which was right in the inner city and in the inner city in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw two levels of education. And how we found that out was that the children that were coming and the students that were coming from PSD had a greater sense of language.
Mm-hmm.
The children coming from Martin School did not have that quality of language, which made it very difficult for them to matriculate and to excel into higher education.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw that, and we ended up, statistics showed that those children from the Martin School had a lower level of language, of speech, of understanding, and that was a great barrier for them to even matriculate and go on to higher education. So, yes, we did see that back in the 70s. We've since seen different now, but as you say, back in the 70s, that was the entire picture for the black deaf community.
So what type of things, I mean, what type of things, you know, have you done? What type of associations, what, you know, type of help did you have to get? Were there agencies and all? Did you guys establish things? I know there's, like, the Black Deaf Advocate chapter in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And, you know, were any special laws put in place? What did you do to help equal the playing field?
Well, you know, recently, several years ago, we were very proud that the government decided to enact the American with Disabilities Act, which we had been fighting for years and years, from way back, 40 years ago. Pastor Warren was very instrumental, too, in putting into place several social agendas for the deaf and hard of hearing community right here in the city of Philadelphia. So we had a battle in front of us. We had to go to several agencies, even within the city, within the city government. We had to go to several agencies and somewhat battle for quality services for the deaf community, for technology. We know now that technology, they may not have thought that technology would be so very important and so vital in the deaf community, but technology now that we have struggled and fought for has now become a reality, and deaf people are now able to have video phones to visit with their friends over a TV screen and communicate on email and sidekicks and whatever. But we found that our battle has since created all of these different avenues that have made it so very vital for the deaf and hard of hearing community to be able to communicate, not only within their own deaf community, but within the hearing community as well.
Mm-hmm. So, if someone did have a child that was deaf and they didn't know what to do, what are some of the first suggestions that you would give them?
The first suggestion I would think would be to locate an agency, usually through the hospitals where hearing tests are done. The first thing is to locate an agency that will identify some of those things that a child would need from very early on, from early preschool for elementary education. Locate those agencies that will direct that parent or that family to agencies that will be able to address their needs first on. There are so many agencies established now that were not established for us when my daughter was going into school and preschool and that nature. We have so many different agencies now that are able to direct parents and children in the right direction to get that child into just into the environment that will help to bring about a quality of life for them. So there's so many things now that the families and the children are things that are made available to them right now for the child to be able to begin with a quality of life first on, not wait for years and years like we had to do, like we had to struggle and advocate. But those things are put in place very much now for a deaf child or for a deaf parent that's looking to get that quality of life for their child from first day, as soon as, well, now we know that parents are able to find out even before their children are born that they will be deaf. So those things are put in place for them right now. And my first priority for that family or for that parent would be to locate that agency that is going to help to give them the very essential things that they need first on, that child will be able to have a quality education and will be able to access all of the services that are available now for the deaf community.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to listen to another inspiring spoken word piece. And we're going to come back, and you're going to tell us how, you know, wonderful Mona is, so that people know, just because someone, you know, has a challenge with them. That's all it is. It's just a challenge, but it really doesn't affect, because I know we know, but I'm still pretty sure there is, not pretty sure, because I run into people all the time. There's still people who have somewhat of a mindset of people being deaf and dumb and, you know, really don't quite have an understanding, you know, still look at people as just as people.
Yeah,
so we just want to just share what wonderful things Mona is doing right now as a young woman.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go to commercial.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donna McKeithen, and I am founder of Exodus International Group. We are a tour and meeting planning company located in Alexandria, Virginia. We provide quality, cost-effective vacations, cruises, and tour packages, as well as historical and educational programs for groups and individuals. Also, call us if you need international meeting assistance for your business or church. We are your cultural connection to the continent of Africa. Visit places like Ghana and Senegal and the Gambia and Mali and South Africa. Also travel to Europe and Asia and the Caribbean and South America. And we offer many other destinations around the world. Interested in international business or coach class tickets? Give us a call. Our staff has over 20 years of experience in the tourism and travel industry. Visit our website at www.xisandxray.com or call us at 703-971-9660. Thank you.
I recall on those days I told myself I'd always be alone, giving up, yet life is full. I turn my face from dreams now growing dusty on a shelf. I cry for days for what, when only I can change the future of my past. I realized I don't trust myself like I should. I called above for help and you sent me myself. All of my days, all of my life, so in love, you're so amazing. All of my days, all my life, so in love, it's so amazing what I recall. Southern days, I'd ask myself, is it gonna last? Stress and strain, yet like before, we endure the storm and realize our greatest joy.
Seven lifetimes across the galaxies and stars to find the other half to complete my heart, such far and wide. Though she was not very far in human form, this angel, she took my heart across the burning sands. Allah had us protected. 9 months later, perfection was manifested. Came before y'all to give you many blessings.
So amazing what all of my days, all of my life, so in love. All of my days, all my life,
right. We're back here on Soul Purpose Tuesdays with our special guest, Reverend Barbara Montague. Now, you were just listening to All My Days by Master Griot artist Infinite Life. And that song was led by Zenora. And at the top of the show, we were listening to Whole Woman by Master Griot artist Rhapsody. You can learn more about the Master Griot artist by going online to www.mastergriot.net and clicking on to Meet MGP Artist. Now we're back here with Reverend Barbara Montague, and we have been talking about her purpose and mission in life, being an advocate for the deaf, and about being a parent of the deaf, and just about the unique challenges, you know, she had to deal with back in the 70s about being black and deaf, and how now with the American Disability Act, there are just much more services and things available, and they can start addressing, you know, educational and the issues early on. And the difference that that makes now is, like, really tremendous, because I remember, well, Reverend Montague and I are both members of, and we finally call her Barbara Jean.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yeah. We're both members of Society for Help in Church, which is a unique ministry for the deaf and hearing. And while I never had anyone deaf in my family, that's what's so great about the ministry. It's not just a deaf church. There are people there that are hearing, that are deaf. And our pastor who founded the church, Reverend Dr. Refsian Warren, who also founded Society for Help and Social Service Agency, her goal was to mainstream the deaf with the hearing, because the reality is it's a hearing world.
Yes.
Song is it's a man's world, but you need to know how to navigate the world that we live in.
Yes.
And everything can't be specialized or customized for just one group. So in order to empower deaf people, Reverend Warren, you know, started Society Church. So this is really a place where, you know, everyone is equal. And we've learned sign language. I've been taking classes since I was 13. You know, you can't be in there too long, and if you don't start at least attempting to learn, and they're going to get on you.
Yes. Yes.
You know, our deaf community, and, you know, even parts of our services, we all sign together. I grew up as a child and got older with the youth choir. We used to sing and sign, and even
yes.
Now I make sure at least, you know, our uniform offertory and, you know, those uniform things that they're signing, even when they say, I can, I don't know. I say, well, we can mimic, just do what everyone else is doing.
Yes, and learn, yes.
Yeah, and it's really important, because it's saying that, you know, you're important for me to do whatever I can to communicate with you,
mm-hmm.
because they have to do that, whatever they can find necessary to communicate with other people.
Exactly.
Don't know sign language.
Yes.
So, but I do remember growing up, you know, the writing skills. And just the difference now with younger people, many of them now are just so much aware, more advanced, you know, compared to Denise or, you know, some of the older people, Anthony and
yes.
all.
And but that, you know what, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about. That goes back to the quality of education that was
yeah.
offered in the 60s and 70s. So those deaf individuals and those deaf persons and hard of hearing persons that are older now, were not able to receive that same quality of education that would afford them the opportunity to learn more improved language skills and writing skills. And that was a major thing of what we were previously talking about, getting that quality of education for the deaf and hard of hearing community.
And that even the fact that they deserved it, because I remember, you know, like I look at the difference, like you see Ricky, you know, young Ricky now, you know, it's just, you know, school is just, you know, go to school just like everyone else. But that wasn't the case back then. A lot of people, one, they started later.
Yes.
and they started Necessary Skills late, it was like almost expected that they would be a couple of years behind. That was just the norm.
Absolutely.
Because they said it took them longer to communicate.
Absolutely.
Because they felt that they couldn't start learning speech and sign until they came to school.
Absolutely.
By then you're 4, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, you know, you're just starting to learn how to communicate. Before then, it was whatever you learned at the household. So it did put them behind because they spent a couple years just trying to learn how
yes,
to communicate.
Absolutely.
Before they could just actually get to the academics.
That's
but
right.
Now people know that it's at infancy they can start learning to sign and communicate, correct?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. We were very blessed because Mona, my daughter Mona, was able to communicate in the deaf community as well as in the hearing community because we had such a loving and supportive family that there are so many people in my family, members of my family, that learn sign language. So when Mona came home from school, she still had the same support of her grandparents, her great-grandparents, her aunts and her cousins. They were all very supportive and wanted, as you said earlier, wanted to learn her language. So it made it a lot more supportive for Mona than perhaps maybe another deaf person whose parents or whose sisters and brothers never, ever learned sign language. So we were very blessed in that sense that Mona had that support. And I do believe that that is what helped her to advance to the level to where she is now with Pastor Warren's teachings, with her learning at Model Secondary School for the Deaf in Washington, and then on over to Gallaudet University. I think all of those things from her childhood and that support from her family helped her to be able to elevate now to where she is. So it made a very big difference for Mona's life as opposed to another deaf person that did not have that support and that
yeah.
understanding and that love and caring, that, you know, there's an element of compassion that we have to have for our children, that we have to give a part of us. And when that comes from the family, and as I've heard Pastor Warren say on so many of occasions, that whole village, we used a village to raise Mona.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is now at a level where we're very proud of her as a deaf person, we're very proud that she's accomplished some of the things that she has.
Yeah, well, she's accomplished a lot for any woman her age.
Yes, and, yes, indeed.
She's just a beautiful person.
Yes, she
and,
is.
And that's the importance. And, you know, right now I think that's my one mission. I'm just really instilling everybody. There was we had a forum talk where we were debating the issue of saggy pants. I found a young man on YouTube had did the history of saggy pants, and I really believe if our young people knew what it came from,
mm-hmm.
you know, from times from lynching and how they would sag the pants down so they could show that they cut off the genitals, I think if they knew where the history of some things were, they would come from different choices.
Yes. And you know what?
Knowledge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What does the scripture say? Our people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, you know, we like to talk about the young people, but the community is responsible for that, and we have gotten so away from that.
Yes.
We are so afraid of kids, so afraid to say anything. And, you know, no one can take your time. I'm telling you this right now, everybody walking in fear, can't nobody take your time.
Absolutely.
That's God's choice when you come and when you go, and we don't have power over it, so there's no point in walking in fear. And you can't fear your own children, your own people. All those kids out there on the street, they're your own children.
Absolutely.
It was all extended family. That's the African way. That's our cultural way.
Absolutely.
And we have to get back to the extended family. We got, you know, all of these single family household, we need the extended family more now than ever. And it's, even if it's just a simple fact, if you would just say hello to the person you walk out on
absolutely.
The street and pass by.
Absolutely.
And without judgment. And when you see a child doing wrong, Just let them know they're doing wrong. Yeah,
yes.
They might cuss you out. They might fuss you out. Oh, well. And they can't take your life if God didn't allow them to take it.
Absolutely.
So stop being afraid, because this is how you may find out there's a deaf person on your body.
Absolutely.
This is how you may find out, and even if it's the dealers at the corner. I mean, don't interrupt the transaction. I don't go too far, but if they're just standing on the corner, say hello. They are so used to not being treated as humans that they act like the animals. And we can't, at some point in time, we got to just stop blaming them, because they didn't ask to be born. They came into the world, and we provided such environments and, you know, such violence and things that we have to open up and stop being afraid.
We have to empower our children and our young people.
Yeah, and just by speaking to each other.
We must empower them.
Yeah, and some of these children are parents, and if we just don't, you know, just start opening up to people and actually really showing love, you know. And it can just be saying a hello. That's just, but that, you know, really in the day and age, how many times, especially up north, but how many times do we walk by somebody and just say hello and smile?
Yeah.
But that would make a difference in our community and open up, and you'd be surprised at who lives right around you.
A smile will make a big difference. I always say that.
Yes,
you can share your smile.
And but that's really important that we, you know, create the community spirit, because we do need one another, and it makes a difference. But so, you know, when we do have issues of illiteracy, you know, all of those things still affect and impact, because if the parents are literacy and they don't have a, you know, good education, then they need to, you know, those values need to be passed on
yes,
to their children.
Yes, we definitely are a brother and sister's keeper.
Yeah,
yes.
So where we can just help each other out.
Yes, indeed.
So yes, indeed. What we're going to do, and hopefully listening in, is your cohort, Crystal Blue. I called her right before we came on.
Very good, very good.
So we're going to go to one more commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk about Journey to Recovery.
All right.
Okay.
The members of the Black Business Space online community have come together in a unified effort to build our brands, our businesses, and connect with you in a beneficial manner. So we're taking the show on the road. We're packing our bags, filling them with UNITY, unity, and through the BBS Value Tour, we're bringing the value of community to a city near you. First stop, New York, for the product launch of the Lockdown by inventor and BBS member DeShalimar, May 10, 2008, at the National Black Theater. Next stop, the 4th Annual Los Angeles Black Book Expo on June 14th. Family, friends, and business community, please join in. Commitment, honor, value, courtesy. Just a gentle reminder about the way to do business and to treat one another. For more information, visit us online at www.bbsvaluetour.com or call us toll-free 1-888-846-9811.
Okay, we're back here on Soul Purpose Tuesdays with our special guest, Reverend Barbara Montague. And she's going to tell us about her program that she founded, A Journey to Recovery.
Hi again. Journey to Recovery is a recovery and sobriety program. It's also a resource agency for the deaf and hard of hearing community here in the city of Philadelphia, but we also service the outlying suburban communities. Journey was founded mainly for the purpose of having an avenue for the deaf and hard of hearing community to be able to receive quality services in recovery and sobriety. There were no agencies that actually served that particular community. We did have agencies, within the city that allowed the deaf and the hard of hearing clients come in to receive services there, but there was no specialized treatment service agency for the deaf community. So Journey to Recovery was founded to be able to afford that quality of recovery and sobriety services that the deaf community needed here in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay, so what, what type of things do you do for people?
Well, as the Recovery and Sobriety Journey offers, in collaboration with the STOP program, which is Sobriety Through Outpatient, here in the city on North Broad Street, we offer services in recovery and in sobriety group training, group therapy sessions, family support, basically the same services you would find in a recovery program geared toward the hearing community. We offer those same types of services for the deaf community.
Okay. And then you also said it's a resource. So
it's a resource agency. We have, as case managers, we're very instrumental in helping the deaf community. The entire purpose, the entire vision for Journey is to see that the deaf community receive a quality of life. That's what we want for all of our brothers and sisters. And so Journey's purpose is to see that all of those individual things that a deaf person needs in their life to be able to allow them to live a quality of life, all of those things that are needed, we are very instrumental in doing. Crystal is our assistant director, and she's very instrumental in the group process and group treatment with our clients. And other than that, being case managers, we need to see that people have their Social Security in place, that people have their welfare and their food stamps and all of those things that you would probably take for granted that's happening within the hearing community. All of those things, we need advocates to go out. We try to empower the deaf person to advocate for themselves, but until we can get them on that level of being a very good advocate for themselves, then we are right there as case managers and support, a major support for them in all of the things that they need, doctor's appointments and interpreters when they have surgery and interpreters for dental visits, all of those things. Journey is within the guidelines and the vision for what Journey stands for, our main purpose, so to speak.
So they just a lot of things we just really take for granted that
yes,
where they need support and understanding. Now, as we close out, I wanted to just say, how do you see Soul Purpose being able to help in that journey and as a vehicle to help empower deaf persons?
Well, so you know what, it was so very fitting that I became a part of Soul Purpose. Soul Purpose had a vision, and their vision included empowerment. And that was empowerment of helping people to fulfill their own individual purposes. And to create, to me, Soul Purpose was to create empowerment so that people could see the beauty in things and to light a way. That's the same thing that Journey to Recovery wants to do. We want to empower people. We want to empower them, same as Soul Purpose, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. And so all of those things that I saw in the vision with Soul Purpose, so connected to Journey, mm-hmm. Journey to Recovery. And it was just so inspiring for me when I saw the connection with Soul Purpose's vision and the vision that Journey to Recovery had to empower our people, not just our hearing people, but to empower our deaf people to become visionaries and leaders and to make a difference in the world. And I just saw that as me connecting with Soul Purpose would allow me to be able to even enhance Journey to Recovery more.
Yeah.
Just about lighting a way for them.
Yeah.
Just bringing so many wonderful things and so many wonderful things that would give them a change and make a change in their lives. And that was my reason for connecting with Soul Purpose.
Yeah, because the entrepreneur aspect is, like, I think really, really important, because it allows, entrepreneurism is empowering, but it allows somebody who's willing to work, who's willing to put the work in, to be able to earn an income based off the work that they're willing to do,
mm-hmm.
not to always have to be, you know, necessarily short-sighted by, you know, other different things or glass ceilings or, you know, on the amount of money that they can make.
Yes.
And it actually allows them, because, you know, a lot of deaf people are extremely social people.
Oh, yes, yes,
I think, especially because they don't get the, you know, some kind of opportunity to communicate, that when they come together, they're extremely social, and then use that aspect to your benefit to turn that into a business.
Yes.
And then, you know, with healing products and a healing thought process and an empowerment that, you know, I can, you know, build for myself and just help someone else build for themselves.
Yes.
That, you know, that creates an empowerment and a true independence, which is really extra needed. So one of my purposes and mission is to really make sure that through Soul Purpose, since we had such a ground floor opportunity, that we really carve a place for the deaf community with Soul Purpose, and to work to implement those systems so that they can be a part of the community calls.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, whatever needs that we need to put in place, that, you know, we let them know, and that we really work toward having them in place so that we don't have to build later and they have to come along.
Yes.
Because some opportunities that have been the case before. But they are interested, but they do need someone like your guidance, Barbara, to say, okay, what systems will we need to put in place to make this inclusive at the beginning instead of coming, you know, later after the fact?
Yes.
So,
that's so true.
So we just invite all of you to join us on a Soul Purpose journey. Reverend Montague, we're developing our sites. I'm working on developing everybody's website, but her website is Journey to Soul Purpose, the number 2, Journey to Soul Purpose, so keeps you in mind with her Journey to Recovery. And the website is under development, but if they need to reach out to you or anybody want to support the Journey to Recovery program, they can reach out to you how?
They can reach us by telephone, 215-227-4893.
Can you give that one more time?
That number is 215-227-4893.
Okay. Do you have a website or email?
We have a website. It's journeytorecovery.org.
Is that T-O?
That's T-O. That's Journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y-T-O. recovery.
dot org. Okay, so that's journeytorecovery.org.
Yes.
And if you want to help, learn more about it, you can go there. And when we get the Soul Purpose site up and going, there'll be a link. But you can still always call and ask. We are starting to take orders now for Soul Purpose, so. You can call in and, you know, ask anything that you would like. And Reverend Montague, I'd just like to thank you for being here.
Oh, I thank you so much, Sister Jackie, for having me.
Well,
very honored.
Well, we're honored to have you. You have a special story. We need to share it. And my mission here with the Soul Purpose Tuesday show is just to show people how the unique aspect of Soul Purpose, that it's an opportunity that really supports everybody in their purpose, and people don't have to feel like they're, you know, robots or machines, but they can actually be empowered. And then, you know, we want to encourage people, you know, what is
yes.
your purpose, to look at it and let that be your, you know, let that be your life. Let
yes, indeed. That's our sole purpose, is to empower.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Thank you again so very much for having me.
Okay. Now, there's always one parting question that I ask all of my guests. If you had 30 seconds in the whole world listening, what would you say?
I would say to ask God, just as Solomon did, that he might impart wisdom and knowledge directly to you.
All right. You heard it here on Soul Purpose Tuesdays on Master Griot Radio. I am Jacqueline Taylor Adams, your host for this moment in time. And learn more about us by visiting www.mastergriot.com. As always,
One,
we speak
two,
for you.
Three,
peace.
Four.